Then Jesus took the cup and said, "This is my blood." And with this, God made his new covenant. He said, "Drink this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning as broken and needy people. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins, Father. We thank you for what you've done on the cross. Father, help us to be more like you as we tread through this thing called life. Father, we just thank you for our freedom that we have in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Church. At this time, I would like to introduce you all to someone very special. This is Jake. Jake, say hi.
Hey. Hey, guys.
Some of you got to meet Jake last week. Jake is going to be interning here at church with us throughout the whole summer. He's going to be primarily working with our middle school and high school students, but I just wanted to get him up here for you to all see him, because you're going to see him a lot every week all throughout the summer. And so, Jake, if you just want to take a second to share a little bit about yourself with everybody, I'll ask you some questions. Where are you from?
I am from New Albany, Indiana, not the Indiana, the city here.
And what school did you just finish up at?
I just finished my degree in youth ministry at Johnson University.
And what are you hoping to do, I guess, from here on out?
From here on out, I just hope to serve in some degree with the youth in any which way possible.
Awesome. Well, if you see Jake around after this service, make sure you give him a big welcome. And we ask that you'd be praying for him as he is going to be working here throughout the summer and learning a lot. Thank you.
Good morning to you. Wow, every week I just see a few more people. I got to see a few people today that I think have been, it was the first time they've been back with us alive here in person for quite some time, so we're glad to have you. I met a couple of people that were here for the very first time, so if you're here as a guest, it's great having you. We hope that you read the words above the door as you came in, that our goal is to help you fall in love with Jesus. And certainly that's what we're here to do today. Hey, over the next several weeks, we're going to use this little guy as an example for us in our Christian lives. The chameleon. Let me begin by telling you the tale, the story of two different boys. One boy was a good boy. He did most everything that his parents asked him to do without very much complaining. When he went to school, he did his work. He worked hard. He stood out as an example of a good student. I think if you ask most of the teachers at that school, they would tell you that he was a fine young man, and that he was going places, and he had a bright future ahead of him. He was involved in a lot. He was involved in the church. He was involved in extracurricular activities at school. He was an athlete. He played football and baseball and basketball and just about anything that was going on at the school. He was a good brother to a number of different siblings. Just in every way that you would think, this boy stood out as being above average, let's say. But then there was another boy. And this boy had a whole different set of friends. And with those friends, he acted very differently. For example, I know for a fact that one day, this boy, being with his buddies at school on the football team, he would interject himself and sing this terrible song that somebody had made up and they said was the fight song of the football team at the school. It was an awful song, okay, if you can just imagine what that might look like. I know one particular time this boy was seated with his family around the dining room table, and he kind of forgot which group he was in, and he asked his mother at the dining room table to pass the blank potatoes. In other words, he just lost his mind for just a moment, and his mother just looked up, and like most good mothers did back then, she slapped him. Got his attention. And you know what was happening was this boy that was a good boy with a certain group was a not so good boy with another group. You know, this good boy had different languages he used. He had a language that was good at Sunday school or at church or at youth group or with his family and things like that. But then he had a whole other vocabulary that he used with friends at school or on the playground or out in the neighborhood or in practice at school. And it was all this colorful, even naughty language that he would use. And he always had to figure out which group he was in according to how he wanted to act. Because in one group, he was nice, he was helpful, he was respectful. And in the other group, he was edgy, somewhat mean and disrespectful, because that's what other people's were. Now, you know what, folks? What I'm trying to do here, and I'm really describing your life as well as mine, but I really am describing mine. I remember when I was a young man, it was really the tale of two boys. It all had to do with where I was, who I was with, how the people around me were acting or reacting. And I could be with my family or with the church crowd and be as nice and good and respectful as I could be. Or I could be with my friends or on the football team or whatever. And I could just speak a whole new language and act a whole new way. In a lot of ways, what I'm describing is this idea of being a chameleon. Being a chameleon. And this is exactly the kind of thing that God says for us not to do, not to live our lives, not to just blend in and act like everyone else. Look at this passage of Scripture in Romans in chapter 12. I love this. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let's ask ourselves just very, very upfront this morning as we think about this. Which is easier for you, to be transformed or to conform? Is it easier to just act like the world, or be like the world, or talk like the world, rather than to be changed by the renewing power of the Spirit of God working in your lives? Now listen, folks, I know that it can feel like that the only way that we can really get through life and enjoy life is to have a good number of friendships out there and just kind of conform in order to fit in. You know, you go to a party at your work at Christmas time. That's a hard time, isn't it? That's a hard time to be transformed rather than just fit in, rather than just conform your personality and your habits to those people that are around you that appear to have it all together, and you want to appear like you have it all together too. And here's the thing. The upside of that is that it will develop a sense of community in your life. The downside of that is the kind of community that you're developing isn't real. And it's the kind of community that God is not calling us to. We're experiencing a sense of false community. Because think about it. The only reason when we do those kinds of things that we're accepted is due to the person that we're pretending to be. And once others discover that that's not really you, that that's not really your values, that that's not really you, what you believe, that that's not really how you live, they're going to leave. Maybe they'll stay. But either way, the whole process can be very, very disturbing, difficult, and even traumatizing. You see, folks, when you come to this passage of Scripture, and it says that we are to conform. What does that mean? What it means is that we are to assume a similar outward form by following the same pattern that we see around us. Now, with that in mind, think about this for a moment. You know, what are we wanting to do? Are we wanting to be transformed or to conform? And here's the thing, folks. What we first have to do is we have to confront in our own lives this idea of conforming. I wonder how many of us have tried to model our behavior after someone we've looked up to or we've admired. And as we grow up, it's almost like you try on other people. Did you ever do that? You know, you as you go through life, and you know, you see a little kid with their dad, and they're mimicking their father. I was here one Sunday morning with our pastor's network, and we were praying. And Richard, the guy that was here with us a few weeks ago, his son Caleb usually comes with that. And Caleb is like 8 or 9 years old, and we were sitting there, we were praying one day, and we had our head down. And I was kind of glancing, and Caleb was right beside me, and I noticed that Caleb was looking up at his dad, and he had put his legs, his feet, just like his dad's. He'd look up at his dad, and his dad, you know, had his arms crossed like this, and Caleb actually changed his and crossed his arms. This little guy was just looking at his father and saying, you know what, I want to be just like him. And that's a really positive thing. But a lot of times, I think we go through life, and we choose people to mimic, or we choose people to conform to, and they're really not what we should be trying to become. There's got to be this confrontation with yourself, with this idea that we are not to conform. Turn to John chapter 4. We're going to look at two different passages of Scripture here. In John chapter 4, and then later in John chapter 5. But when you look at John chapter 4, we see firsthand what this kind of confrontation looks like. Now, I don't have time to go through this entire passage of Scripture, but you can read it there. Jesus has this encounter with a woman at the well. And if you know anything about this culture, you know, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't get along, they didn't hang out, but here was Jesus with this woman. In fact, most Jews would not even travel through Samaria. Not only did they not want to encounter the Samaritan people, they did not even want their feet to touch the ground. They would take a longer way around to avoid any contact at all with the Samaritans. But Jesus, he doesn't have those same concerns. He doesn't care about social norms. He doesn't care about the taboos that other people followed. He's interested in what? He's interested in the redemption of humankind. So he goes to Samaria. He meets the woman at the well who comes to draw water at noon. And usually all the women would come to draw water much later in the day, but this woman was so ashamed of her lifestyle that she came then because she didn't want to encounter anyone. But she encounters Jesus. And Jesus knows her. Jesus tells her things about her life that she doesn't readily reveal. Jesus lets it be known that he is a prophet. He knows everything about her, and she is astonished. And what is his message? His message is one of non-conformity. His message is one of confronting your desire to be like other people, to be a chameleon in the society and the time in which you live. And you know what, folks? I think that all of us could have that same kind of encounter with Jesus today. Maybe you, maybe I, maybe we've been following the patterns of those around us. Maybe we've been trying to mimic someone else in life, trying to be successful like they are. Maybe you know that you can keep friendships if you just fit in and follow others' leads. Maybe Jesus is offering you, as he offered to her, a better way of life. Offering to me and you, here and now, a better way of life. And what's the better way of life? Transformation rather than conformity. You see, we think that conformity is the path to real success. And Jesus says that it's just the opposite. Now, let me give you this other passage of Scripture and add something to this, because I think this is so, so important. In John chapter 5, we see Jesus encountering someone else. If you read the passage here in verse 1 through 9, you'll see that he encounters an invalid. 38 years he's been laying beside the pool. Think about this. If you read this text closely, I think it even says that Jesus had to step over and go around other people that needed healing before he got to this man. So what was so special about this one man? Why didn't Jesus just heal everyone there that day? I'm really not sure. I don't know the full answer to that. But I do know that Jesus literally confronts him there at the pool. And if you read the text, this is what Jesus says to the man. When Jesus saw him lying there and he realized that he had spent a long time in this condition, Jesus said to him, what? Do you want to get well? You know, I just have this feeling that's the exact posture that Christ has with us today. I mean, we've been coming here, we've been so faithful in assembling together, and so many times in life, we're still just trying to conform to the world. Even though we're here, we hear the teaching, we sing the songs, we pray the prayers, we take the wafer and the juice, we hear the message of God, and then we go back out and we get busy to conforming more. It's like we're a chameleon. Wherever we are, we just reflect the background that is there with us. And Jesus says, do you want to get well? And what Jesus was looking at was a man who had fully conformed to his situation. This is evidenced in his reply to Jesus when he says, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm on my way, someone else always gets in. And Jesus, in very clear terms here, tells us that the greatest handicap that this man had was that he was discouraged, obviously. He couldn't see a pathway to healing. All he thought he could do was just to be among those that were sick and infirmed. You know, as I was studying this week, I just kept coming back to my brother Dan that was up here last week. And how much of the wonderful healing of God that he received. You know, we can just blend into the background of our circumstances and live like a chameleon, or we can step forward and say, you know what? I want something different. I want something better. He could only see the obstacles in front of him. And I would argue today that his condition, his suffering, his discouragement had conformed his thinking to a mindset of hopelessness. And little did he know that while he was staring at the pool in front of him, the living waters of Jesus Christ stood right before him. And I think that question that Jesus asked so many years ago is relevant today. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get healed? Or said another way, do you want the transformational power of God to work in your life? You see, the world will always want us to conform. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God will always want us to transform. And the words of Jesus challenged and confronted this man in such a way there at that pool that day that they challenge and confront us today. So much of the messaging you hear in life is inviting you to conform to the world. You know, for example, you ever been in the market for a new car, and all of a sudden you notice every car commercial there is. I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm like that and I see a car commercial, it's like, oh boy, I think I really would like that. And then another one, oh, man, you know, that's really nice too. I mean, we are such creatures of the advertising that is before us. And when there's something that we want, something that we desire, things like that just jump out at us. You know, I don't know if you notice, we have this truck. It's not a new truck. It was a used truck when we bought it, but it's bright blue. And I got it because it's like, wow, that is awesome. That'll stand up, stand out. You know how many blue trucks there are out there? I didn't notice any of them until I had one. And then all of a sudden, they're everywhere. You know, that's the way it happens. You want a new house, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I really like, oh no, I like, oh no, that's the one I want. We always think we deserve better. We want better. We deserve more. We deserve better, more, bigger, better, blah, 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 blah. But the message of the Bible invites us not to desire to fit in and always want bigger, better, more, but invites us to be transformed by the power of God. The world conforms, the Word transforms. As Paul says in our text, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Our minds, the minds that God has given us, even though we don't think about it this way, they are the most powerful supercomputer in the world. And they are hardwired to store and to recall information and to take stuff in throughout our lifetime. And maybe it's time that we spend a little bit more time regarding what goes in. and the desires that we have. Because listen, folks, we, every one of us here today, we are in need of a spiritual and mental renewal of our souls. I can tell you, folks, from personal experience that this book is the source of what we are thinking. And we need to come to that point where we desire that and only that. You know, it's too long of a story to tell you everything, but a few years ago, I got in contact with a half sibling in my family, and he contacted me and wanted to get together, and we'd never actually talked or met. But Arlene and I, we made the trip down. He didn't live too far away, and we made the trip down. And you know what? I thought he was going to ask me everything about our family and about this person and that person and about my siblings and this and that and the other. So I went prepared to try to answer any questions that this young man had about our family and about our upbringing. And as I sat in his living room, he had cancer. As I sat in his living room and I said to him, you know, Steve, I can share with you anything that you think you need to hear. You know what he said? He said, you know, really, John, he said, I just need to know how to get close with God again. And I thought you probably knew how to help me with that. I said, I can help you with that. But then he told me his story, and his story had basically been a chasing of everything in the world that people say brings joy and happiness. He finally had his dream job, his dream home, dream family. And then he got pancreatic cancer at a pretty young age, mid-50s, and he died. But before he died, he wanted me to help him find not conformity, because he had chased that all his life, but transformation through the power of the Spirit. And you know what, folks? I encourage all of us here today to not wait until that day to seek such things. Because renewing our mind, being transformed by the Spirit, not conforming to the world that's around us, not living as a chameleon, but being a true child of God. These things are not easy, but they're worth it. They're not easy. It's not easy to achieve. It's not easy to change. It's not easy to show this whole different person to the world, but it's worth it. You can look around and you will discover how to fit in, how to look like everything else, and you may think that gives you satisfaction, but it never does. But folks, when you get to the point where you realize that it's not conformity, but it's transformation that you seek, that is a wonderful place to be. What is God trying to do in your heart today? I mean, as we begin these few weeks together talking about that we don't want to be a chameleon, that we don't want to fit in, that we don't want to conform, but we want to transform. What is it that God is trying to do in your heart right now? What kind of self-reflection? What kind of journey do you need to take? What do you need to embark on to get to a place that leads to transformation? What needs to happen in your daily routine is you need to make room for God. Stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to be divided, where you act one way at home and one way at church and one way with your friends and another way here. Stop trying to just be a chameleon and just reflect whatever's behind you so that you'll fit in and nobody will really notice how different you are. Jesus said it so well to Nicodemus, the man that came to him at night, who had a desire, who had achieved so much stature in life, but he found out that it was lacking. And Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, how can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? And Jesus explained to him, not that kind of birth, but you have to relinquish the control of your life to Jesus Christ in such a way that none of the other stuff matters. But the question is, and I close with this, is that what you want? We can continue to lay around the body of water as the man did in John 5 for 38 years. And just fit into the sickness and the discouragement that's all around us. And think that we cannot achieve anything other than that. Because we're always looking for something else. When in reality, the precious water of life is standing right in front of us. So, in the Spirit of Christ, I ask us the same question that He asked Him. Do we want to be healed? Do we want to be transformed rather than conform to the world around us? Let's bow our heads and answer that question. Father in heaven, certainly this is a time of invitation to anyone, Lord, who feels like that they have conformed to the world too much, too often, and been transformed by the Word and by the Spirit too little and sometimes too late. But certainly, Lord, right now, today, it's not too late for any of us. So I pray, Lord, for every person here that's been a believer for decades, God, that we can stop conforming to the world around us and choose the transformational power of the Spirit of God living in us. God, for anyone here today that has never stepped across that line of faith and never been born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, God, I pray that today would be the day that they can pray in their heart this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I make you Lord of all. God, help me not to live a life of a chameleon, to conform to everything and everybody around us. But Lord, may I stand out by the transformational power of Jesus. May it be so in Jesus' name. And dear Lord, I know that if anybody prays that prayer, that Father, they are born again. And God, I pray that you would impress upon them whatever their next step of faith is. We would love to help them here at First Church to get involved, certainly in a good Bible-believing church, Lord, to be a part of a small group that can help to keep them accountable and help them grow in their faith. God, we can offer them the watery a grave of baptism, Lord, to be obedient in that way. We can offer them a place of service for the rest of their days to honor you. Lord, it all hinges on our desire to want to be healed. So God, may that desire drive us into your presence. May we invite you into our presence, Lord, as the woman at the well did, as the man at the pool did. And then, Lord, you leave changing them in so many ways. Father, we pray for that kind of change in all of us. And Lord, certainly may it begin right now at this moment, even as we sing and share this song together. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together, please, and let's sing. Mm-hmm.